You're listening to This Motorcycle Life, conversations about why we ride. Episode 8, A Postcard from California. I'm Bruce Philp. Thanks for listening, and thanks for waiting. I know it's been a while. And while we're on the subject of gratitude, I want to say thanks, too, for the emails of encouragement that keep coming in. They really mean a lot. We just passed our 10,000th listen in the last couple of weeks. Not the podcasting big leagues, I know, but I'm thrilled, and it really keeps me going. So this mini-episode is a bit of an experiment, because I don't have a guest. You just get to listen to me for the next little while, and hopefully that won't be too tedious. I'll tell you how that happened in a moment, but first some important business. I want to acknowledge the promotional support of my friends at Eat Sleep Ride. The stories in these podcasts are about riders like you and me, and Eat Sleep Ride is a great place to meet them. You can discover this online community and magazine at eatsleepride.com. And as an avid user, I can recommend that you download their super useful free mobile app at your preferred app store. I don't ride without it. Thanks, guys. Well, one of the great things about being self-employed is that I can usually work from wherever I want. My business partner just happens to be my wife. And for us, where we want to be when the Canadian winter sets in is California. So every year, we pack up our laptops and our cat and we escape for a month or so to Los Angeles. We rent a little place near the beach, we work on Eastern time, and then for the rest of the day, we pretend we live there. For me, that sometimes includes riding motorcycles when I can, something that's still a long way off back in my snowy home. Well, this year, I'd planned to record a podcast while I was there so it wouldn't be too long between episodes, but thanks to LA's bad flu season and some scheduling challenges, I could not get my guest and my borrowed gear together on the same day. Well, the months slipped by, and here I am, back home. In fact, if you listen carefully, you'll hear the odd icicle falling from my roof. I'm not even kidding. And that's how I hit on the idea of a postcard. Most of the people listening to this aren't from California, although some are, and I hope you'll still find this fun. But who hasn't dreamed of riding here? There surely is not a single place in the world that's had a bigger impact on moto culture than the Golden State. I thought maybe it would be fun to share a taste of what that culture's actually like. Give you a sense of what it's like to ride here, for average riders like me, anyway. So I started making notes, and here they are. When it comes to riding in Los Angeles, the first question people ask me is about the traffic. Isn't Southern California gridlocked? Doesn't it take forever to get anywhere? Isn't it dangerous? Well, yes and no. Los Angeles is gridlocked, at least compared to where I come from, although that gap is closing. And it does take forever to get anywhere sometimes, especially by car. We're lucky to be staying in Santa Monica, from which it's relatively easy to access the best riding roads in the area. I'll talk more about that shortly. And frankly, I used bikes to get away from the city and not into it. I didn't even attempt an expressway, so my observations might not be that well qualified. Still, I noticed a couple of things that surprised me. For one thing, riding a motorcycle seems very normal here. You can just feel it. You have the sense that drivers expect to see bikes. You don't get the startled or grumpy looks that I'm used to back home, even in the city. And that's more surprising than you might think, given that California isn't the U.S. state with the highest number of motorcycles per capita. It's not even in the top five, as it turns out. In fact, California ranks 43rd or so among the 50 U.S. states for the percentage of people who own motorcycles, if that's a reasonable measure for how common a sight they'd be. Both the number of citizens and the number of bikes aren't far off those of Canada, in fact, where I come from, although obviously far more geographically concentrated. And yet, being on a motorcycle here, compared to, say, Toronto, which would be my benchmark for urban riding, you really feel far less isolated. Well, here's an example of what I'm talking about. I started to notice in traffic that most of the time, not always, but mostly, drivers would stop 10 feet behind me at a light rather than right on my wheel, a clear courtesy. It seemed to come from the same place that makes cars stop to let you cross the street here, even if you're mid-block. There are a lot of cars in Los Angeles, but but it hasn't been unusual to find their drivers laid back and pretty decent people. I started to wonder if I was just romanticizing this, so I checked my observations with other expats, Lyft drivers, and fellow motorcyclists, and they concurred. California drivers are, most of the time, about the nicest you'll find in North America. Paying attention is another matter. I guess the nicest way to put this is that Angelenos seem far more adept at driving and using their mobile phones than where I come from, given that everybody seems to be doing it and the streets aren't homicidal mayhem. But seriously, it seems observably more common here than back home, probably because of the heavy traffic they have to cope with. And strange as it may seem, intersections weren't where I felt the greatest threat. My biggest puckering moments came with distracted drivers on open roads, where you couldn't always rely on people to stay between the lines, even on the gentlest curves. Well, I learned to be a little more flexible about my lane position after a few close encounters with the rearview mirrors of passing cars and trucks. Their drivers' heads bowed in unmistakable prayer to their smartphones. In this way, California is, I suppose, like everywhere else, just a bit more intense. And yet, even then, there was this surprising kindness. One memorable example was a woman who, having just turned left in front of me, actually stopped to apologize. I was speechless. That does not happen at home. And then there's lane splitting. It's famously legal in California, or sort of, and it's certainly tolerated, so I don't bring my Canadian prejudices with me when I see it here. But if you come from a place where it's not allowed, your first reaction is that it seems like cheating, at least at first. Spend some time here, though, and it starts to make a lot more sense. You're never going to see me riding at high speed between lines of moving cars. That's way past my threshold for danger. But where filtering at intersections seems rude and presumptuous at home, here it almost feels like good citizenship. If you filter up to the front of the line and then move out smartly when the light turns green, well, you're just freeing up a few more feet of real estate for the cars behind you. And that seems to mean a lot more on roads where asphalt real estate is as scarce as it is here. There's no doubt that traffic in Southern California is daunting, if you're not used to it. For me, anyway. The good news is that people seem to expect to see motorcycles and know what to do around them. But they also expect more from you, so you have to be on your game, which is maybe why so many riders you see here often seem so competent. As a Lyft driver put it to me one day, we're all in this together. Canyon roads in the Santa Monica Mountains north of Los Angeles are kind of legendary in motorcycling, but they've always intimidated me a little. I've ridden up there once before with Todd Egan, whom you met in episode 2, so I know it's not beyond me, but I've always worried that if I was up there riding at my own pace, I'd just be in the way. Maybe I'm too Canadian. But if YouTube is to be believed, the place is teeming with riding prodigies on leader bikes, grinding their knee pucks to dust on every corner. Who needs that pressure? Well, on this visit, I decided to get over it. It's February, and I could ride during the week. I figured maybe I can avoid the worst of the testosterone and just enjoy the roads if I time it right. Well, the next problem, of course, was geography. If you're not a native, maps aren't very illuminating. Fortunately, with a little Googling, I found some sane advice in the form of an article called Top 10 Motorcycle Rides in Los Angeles. I know, link bait. But it was pretty good. I'll include a link in my show notes. It was perfect for someone who doesn't know the area that well, and for those of us with no ego. It even included difficulty ratings, and that's how I found Malibu Canyon Road. Malibu Canyon Road is one of maybe three main routes into this riding paradise if you're coming from the Pacific Coast Highway, the others being Topanga Canyon Road and Cannon Doom Road. These seem to offer the best access to the network of quieter and more challenging stretches, and it's an amazing introduction. Despite being relatively mellow, Malibu Canyon Road has some incredible views, and even a tunnel so you can hear those pipes, as well as lots of places to pull over and take a photo or let faster traffic go by. It's really approachable, and yet it makes you feel like a star. And it just happens to intersect with Mulholland Highway, a legendary road that definitely got me a little starry-eyed. In just one of my riding days, I was able to pile up 250 kilometers up there, including Mulholland, Stunt Road, which has an amazing view from the top, and Piuma Road, which definitely got my heart pumping. And to be honest, if there had been any traffic there, I think it would have been over my head. I'll admit that I'm a bit of a romantic about this stuff, but this was, for me, one of those peak experiences that you store in your memory to get you through the off-season, and sometimes get you through life. The sun on your back, hardly another car in sight, a road that just doesn't stop winding, this beautiful landscape, a bright blue sky and the Pacific Ocean off in the distance. All you can hear is your own engine, and it's like time just stops. It's the kind of happiness you'd think only kids get to have. If there's a better reason to take on the challenges and risks of being a rider out here, well, I don't know what it is. Well, I could gush on, but I'll just say this. If you do have a chance to ride out here, you probably should. It really is that good, and it really is that beautiful. And if you come, and if you're a regular Joe like me, here's a bit of advice you might be able to use. If you can, stay on the west side. Getting to Malibu from Santa Monica is fast and easy, but there are parts of LA where you'd be committing half the day in traffic just to get here and back. If you're renting a bike, don't go big. That battlecruiser might be just a ticket for a ride up the PCH, but it's going to be distracting on canyon roads. A small, light bike is going to be both more fun and more forgiving. And if you think you need more, well, I wish you had seen the RC390 Pilot I came across, strafing corners at lean angles I will never achieve in my life. Trust me, CCs are no substitute for skill up here. And if you can somehow manage it, go in the winter and go during the week. For Angelenos, a cool winter day might mean 17 or 18 degrees Celsius, which for a lot of us is a perfect riding day. Here, it's just a reason to wait for a warmer one. Add in lighter weekday traffic and you might find yourself, as I did, with Mulholland Highway almost entirely to yourself. It's crazy. You know, there are certain places and certain bikes that make you feel like you're connecting to something like the soul of riding, without meaning to be too dramatic about it. And I think a lot of the time this happens when you find yourself actually doing the things that you used to dream about when you first fell in love with motorcycles. Actually in the places where those YouTube videos and magazine spreads were created. Well, riding here is exactly like that. And there's something almost life-affirming about the fact that while this place might be far away for some of us, it's not a fantasy. It's real. Of all the things I envy about riders in California, one of the biggest is that there is a scene here. Not that every town doesn't have one, but in LA, at least, you don't have to go looking for it. Partly, I think that's a natural extension of its well-established car culture. Partly, I think it's that this is such a riding paradise. I guess that's obvious. Partly, I think it's that California has been the locale for so many iconic motorcycle films, so these images are burned into our minds. And partly, it's because, at the moment, it's quite fashionable for Hollywood stars and tastemakers to ride bikes. Not for nothing did the AMC series Ride with Norman Reedus begin in Orange County and make its first stop at the Great Frog, L.A., which, in case you didn't know, is the only really legit place to buy a skull ring in this town. To be honest, when it comes to the scene here, I've barely scratched the surface. I've yet to poke my head into a custom shop here, for example, despite there being so many, and so many important ones. I'm kind of looking at you, Roland Sands. But it's on my list next year, and anyone who decides to take a riding vacation in Southern California should definitely set some time aside to just soak in a place where it's not only riders who think motorcycles are cool, everybody does. Let me give you a couple of examples. If you find yourself in Venice or Santa Monica, you'll want to stop for coffee at Deus Ex Machina's Emporium of Postmodern Activities. Quite a handle. It's at Lincoln and Venice Boulevard. Deus is a kind of prototype for brands that started out in motorcycles and gear, and surfing in their case, with the express intention of branching out into fashion. I've watched them evolve to where even their LA store really stocks only a token number of things you'd actually wear on a bike, and even those are more trendy than technical. But Willie still builds bikes there, and the cafe is a great vibe, even if the coffee drinkers and Wi-Fi users outnumber the bikes parked out back by 4 or 5 to 1. If motoculture is interesting to you in its own right, well, here's a place that you can actually see how it feeds into pop culture, which is a good thing if you ask me, and even be part of it. Toss in the possibility of a star sighting or two, and hanging out there is kind of fun. At least I think so. Plus, you get the feeling that the people who run the place are glad to see an actual rider walk in, even if it's just for the cred. 8 miles and half an hour away, on a good day, is the Peterson Automotive Museum on Wilshire. Well, they've got some interesting bikes in their permanent collection, but they regularly have special exhibits of bikes too. You might remember the Harley versus Indian show that ran last year and is winding up as I record this. Well, I still haven't quite recovered from the sight of a vintage Harley-Davidson scooter. It makes you wonder if they've been thinking too narrowly about their heritage lately, but that's another show. This spring, the Peterson is mounting a new show, curated by Paul Dorleans of The Vintagent, which I hope I pronounced correctly. It's called The Custom Revolution. Surprisingly, given Southern California's history with choppers, that's not the kind of custom show this is about. In fact, you'll see bikes from builders like El Solitario, Shinya Kimura, and Roland Sands, people who have dragged the entire industry into the 21st century. I'll be gone when it opens this year, but it's on my list for next year. And a lot of riders I know are closeted car nuts, so the Peterson is worth the trip anytime, but this show should be awesome. From the sublime to, well, something else, it was a short hop from here to Heroes Motors on Melrose in West Hollywood. Well, this French company has kind of forged its own Deus Ex Machina-like path from bikes to fashion, but in a much more highbrow way. The concept of Heroes is a motorcycle gallery where the bikes are treated almost like art. They build and restore vintage bikes at another location in LA, and the bikes they have on display here are just jaw-droppingly beautiful. But this is a place where vaguely famous people roll up on pristine custom machines and park in front of the store for the sole apparent purpose of making an impression. And among the achingly hip moto fashion for sale, you'll find some dashing leather-lined helmets for a very reasonable $2,400. My wife bought me a t-shirt and a scarf, and they threw in some stickers. It was totally worth the visit, though, and anything that makes motorcycles cooler is fine by me, even if I'm not cool enough to shop there. And maybe I wasn't the only one. As it turned out, I had forgotten to pack riding jeans for this trip. So early on, I headed over to a gear shop on the edge of Venice to pick up a pair. And who should be standing at the counter chatting up the owner but Canada's own notorious YouTube star, Snowcat. Even with almost 800,000 YouTube subscribers, motorcycling's self-described professional hater looked to me to be just as excited as I was to be here and getting ready for a ride. As I was putting my notes together from this trip, I was trying to figure out what the right sort of coda would be for this episode, some kind of an anecdote that would sum it up, and I hit on this. One day, I decided to ride up the Pacific Coast Highway as far as Magoo Rock, which is kind of a landmark. You've seen it in 100 car commercials. And on the way back, I stopped at a place called Neptune's Net, which is a biker and surfer hangout near the LA Ventura County line, to get some lunch. At the next table was a kid. He was a kid to me anyway, he might have been about 20, doing the same thing. We finished up at about the same time, and he followed me out to where our bikes were parked. Mine a rented Yamaha R3, and his a slightly rough-looking Ninja 250. He said his name was Darren, I think, and he was a local, and he seemed to know what he was doing. Well, I just assumed he was some awesome local rider being friendly to a tourist, but it turned out that he had been riding for just 4 months. Every spare day, he takes this, his very first motorcycle, up into those canyons, and rides his brains out trying to master them. And the more he talked about it, the more excited and happy and unguarded he became, until despite being about as different as two people could be, listening to him was like looking in a mirror. We really are all the same. Well, not wanting to monopolize the conversation, I guess, he finally asked me, "How do you like your R3? "Oh, it's just a rental," I said, "but it's a fun bike." And then we talked about what I ride back home. After a while, he looked back at his scruffy Ninja, beaming at the prospect of a lifetime of bikes and rides still to come, and grinning, turned back to me and said, "That's my rental. Just another lost angel." Well, thanks for listening. I would love to know what you thought of this episode, for better or worse. You'll find show notes at thismotorcyclelife.com, and that's also how you can reach me if you have questions, comments, or suggestions. And you can find me on Instagram at thismotolife, where I like to post pictures of bikes I find on the street. I posted one from Los Angeles just about every day I was there, so look for those. To take us home, here's a recommendation for your This Motorcycle Life playlist. This one's for my fellow Northerners who have to wait just a little longer for spring to set us free. The artist is Josh Woodward, a singer, songwriter, and film score composer from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And fittingly, the track is from a collection called The Beautiful Machine. The song is California Lullaby, and it kind of explains itself. I'll post a link where you can download it for free if you like it, and maybe it'll keep you warm. In the meantime, keep staying alive out there.
The skies are cold and gray. The storm is on its way. The flat horizon, leafless trees, there's nothing far as you can see out here. You shiver like a wave. Your snow boots soles are chafed. You left your heart in paradise. You left it all to roll the dice with me. And I will shake away the cloudy sky. Toes up to the fire, and I will sing your cares away. Send